listening to the Digital Strips podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and your reminder that the only good thing to come out of our trashing the world's oceans is a cute webcomic. I am your host, and I am down in the muck, down in the scum, down where they ask where all this garbage comes from. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he sure has been spending a lot of time down at the docks ever since his car accident. He is Steve the Geek Shinny.
It's okay. I have a friend there. And I cut the garbage out of her hair.
Okay, well, we'll name the comic and then we can get into that. Because that is a question I have about the nature of this entire world. Because, yeah, we just take things for granted and that's fine. But the comic we're looking at is The Little Trash Maid. And it's brought to us by SOS2. And it is The Little Mermaid, but by way of the just heinous and foul garbage filling of our oceans that we as humans do. And so you remember in The Little Mermaid, Ariel has, you know, like a fork. Ha, that's a comb. That's like, you know, the little gadgets that she's gotten from the human world. Well, the Little Trash Maid's world is full of our garbage. So she's made all these kinds of precious, cute little gadgets and decorations and clothing out of our garbage. In fact, there's essentially a 7-Eleven bag, a plastic bag that she wears as her top all the time. It's at both times adorable and just heart-wrenching. Because every time she, you know, puts a rusty hook through her ear as an earring or has to untangle her father's tail from all this, it's disgusting and it's cute. And it's not cute because it's disgusting. It's not disgusting because it's cute either. So it's not
like Garbage Pail Kids where the grossness is kind of what you're there for. The grossness, like this comic exists to remind the world that Don't put so much garbage in the ocean. Hey, don't put any garbage in the ocean, you garbage in the ocean putters. And so it's not so much that's the even the sense of plot, although it often is. It's more just gives the entire comic, which otherwise is very sweet and saccharine, just this bit of poignancy and bittersweetness, maybe, where you're just like, oh, she's making the best of this world. But this world's pretty crappy because there's just so much stuff in this little bay that she lives in. It's grody, and that's not cool.
No,
but it's not cool that the world exists where that can happen. It's not that this comic is not cool because it focuses on garbage.
No, I think the creator really finds some inventive uses for a lot of the garbage. And I mean, by way of that, the tidy, who is that's the name we were finally given for our little trash maid. And you mentioned in your notes, and we have to mention that kind of early on in the comic, it seems like a boy, but I would imagine he has to be a little older than that. Again, this is where my questions come in, because he's driving, so he, you know, is old enough to drive, but he is looking at his phone, and because of that, crashes through the guardrail and topples some distance, I would think, down to like the beach or whatever. He basically goes through the guardrail, and the next time we see him, he's waking up on the beach and Tidy is over him, and you know, that's where they meet and they begin their meeting / friendship. And but like, so how old is he? Like, he has a backpack, which, you know, you can be in college and have a backpack. Like, you can be an adult and going to work and have a backpack. But he also, at one point, we see his mom like throw something away that is his that he brought home. So that makes you think he's a kid to some degree. That was the only question I had, is like, what's going on with that situation? And why is nobody asking, why do you constantly go down to the docks and bring back garbage?
Well, the creator is German, I believe. And so I assume that all these characters are also German. So I think Germans can drive and live on their own at 12. So I'm sure that he's 12. Say he's 12. 12-year-old driving, phone-having German boy.
Also known as Ricky, by the way. I just wanted to get that out. We don't have to name him ourselves because he does have a name. He's Ricky. And he eventually brings another friend of his.
Spencer.
Yes. And
he brings gifts.
Yes, he does. Spencer is I mean, Ricky, they all like each other. They're all very friendly. They're all nice and nice enough. Spencer, kind of coming into the situation, I guess, second, is more kind of fascinated and really wants to help where he can, which is nice. But yeah, they become very important because they are our ties back to the real world. And they also, you know, bounce these new concepts and whatever off of Tidy and her family, I assume, friends, other sea creatures. So it gives us that play back and forth. And, you know, there's sometimes Tidy teaches them something, and sometimes, most times, they teach Tidy something. And it's a kind of a one-note comic, but it's a one-note that I think keeps giving enough that there's enough story here. I don't know. It doesn't really progress besides the fact that Ricky, you know, comes into her life and then Spencer is introduced. That's, I guess, the brother, if that's the brother, finally gets, you know, something out of the transaction. He gets freed from his clamp around his neck. I'm not sure what exactly piece of trash that is or why it's clamped around his neck, but that's, you know, it hurts and it sucks. So he's very happy when it gets removed, but yeah, it's a mutually beneficial relationship and a very cute one, but it's just built around a just disgusting travesty and tragedy in the real world that it's like you said, sometimes when you enjoy it, it's really hard to remember, oh, I can I enjoy this? Should I be enjoying this? I should be sad, right? And to the creator's credit, one more thing, to the creator's credit, there are several times when it's like, hey, I have new merch up and this merch shop that I use, you know, has like zero, everything's recyclable and all this, like they really go to the ends of, I understand that this is a problem and I'm trying to do something about it, instead of just, hey, I'm just writing about this. I don't know. I'm going to throw this plastic cup in the ocean when I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the whole thing is there is an image and a persona being created that is very eco-friendly and that's good. Cause you know, we should all be friends with the eco. I do agree that the comic is one note. It's one in which there is not a lot of permanence. Everything seems to be just like very much of the moment. The only changes are Ricky is introduced, Spencer is introduced, brother gets his neck back. And that's pretty much it as far as permanence. Everything is very like, we're going to do this thing and we're going to do that thing. And that's fine. That's what this comic is supposed to be. And it very much lives in the moment, and that's fine. That certainly works for it. It kind of adds to the whimsy and the magic of a little trash maid flopping around. Yeah, we don't get tons of world building. We don't know all of where like these mermaids come from. We don't know if there are more beyond this family. There's a lot of things we don't know, and it just doesn't matter. It's just about the interactions.
Yeah. It's simple but effective, and I think the artwork we didn't really talk about, but I really like the look of everything. It's a very cartoony look, but it also the characters are so expressive, like overly expressive, and not in an anime or manga inspired way. I would say it's more of the, I don't even know what to call it. It's Looney Tunes and kind of that stuff really. I don't know, pioneered it, but it's that look of like the giant eyeballs and tiny little pupils to show like, you know, surprise or dismay. And I don't know, it's used a lot and it's used to very good effect. Like I think the trash maid and even the other characters have great facial expressions that I really think sell a lot of the jokes and the funniness of this comic.
Yeah, the jokes are the expressions. The it's very emotive and gets everything across very clearly. So it's certainly effective at that.
Yeah, I think the my favorite of those is probably really early in the comic when, before we even meet any of the human characters, she's in the ocean and puts these like plastic forks and spoons and whatever in her gums to make her look like a shark. She comes up to the swims up to the shark and is like, ah! And the shark just gives the camera a look like, is she for real? What's going on here? Like, am I on camera? what's this? So,
are you seeing this?
And then there's a nice. Yeah, basically, it's about the only time that happens. Everything else after that is we kind of meet Ricky, and then we're off to the races with just bouncing concepts of their worlds off one another. So there is another moment where I think it's Spencer. He has a cast on his arm when he's first introduced, and you know that she says, "How'd you get that?" And he says, "Oh, I fell on my skateboard and you know broke my arm, and that can happen. You break a bone, and you have to get this on there to fix it." And she then goes underneath the water and sees a lobster, I think, a friend of her, I'm guessing, on a skateboard that's been, you know, lost in the ocean. And she pulls the lobster off and is like, no, careful, you could die. it's a really well-drawn lobster, I'll say that. Like, the sea creatures themselves, when they're not cartoony, they're really well-drawn. Like, it's a comic that's very cartoony, but also... you know, gets the point across of like, oh, this is supposed to be this kind of sea creature. Like, it'd be hard to have this kind of comic without being able to draw the ocean and its dwellings well. And I think this creator is very good at that.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite comics are the ones that I think there's also some YouTube animations out there that we get stills from, or I don't know if they're stills from it or promotions for it or whatever it is, but where it's just tidy exploring the ocean, and that's fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there's one that is the kind of quintessential aerial scene from Little Mermaid where she jumps up on the rock, you know, and the water splashes behind her and she says part of that world, where Tidy does that. And instead, of course, when the water splashes up and over her and she's covered all this garbage and she falls off the rock. It's like it's really well animated. Like it is these are simple enough scenes. I wonder if, you know, more could be animated. I know several of them are animated, but it's they do a great work. And I think that should be, I don't know, expounded upon further. And maybe these could be little cartoon shorts. I don't know, you know, how you put that out there or monetize that or whatever. But it's, yeah, from that end, it's very great. And I think that keeps me reading more and more. The hook is good enough, like the let's watch these two worlds and bounce them off one another and play with the trash as aesthetic and art concept. It's good, but the artwork is definitely what, you know, really nails it home for me. And it's just like, I love the expressions of these characters. I like seeing how they're depicted and drawn. And I was really worried about the boys when they try and help the seagull have a new home. And they put up on this like perch and they're stacked with trash to get up to this little perch to put the seagull up there. And they fall off. And I really assumed that was where Spencer was going to break his arm again, or what Ricky was going, something like that was going to happen. Cause they've shown that can happen. Like, this is the world where you can fall and break. There is fall damage. How about that? So when they fall from such a great height, the fact that neither of them is hurt, you know, they land on each other and one like lands on his arm. I was like, that's weird. So it's one of those things you shouldn't think about that much. Like the relationship, the where is Ricky coming from and how old is he and how is he able to drive and all that stuff. I agree with your answers, but also you shouldn't think about it that much. If you think about that, then you're thinking too hard for this comic.
You're the one who started thinking.
I did. I apologize. I for this comic and our other recent one, I need to turn my brain off and just enjoy. Be in the moment. And this moment is at the same time charming and fun and just loathsome and disgusting. And I really appreciate that it brings both of those in equal measure.
Absolutely. And it's been around for a while. Like, I remember seeing this on Webtoons probably, I want to say 5 years ago, but I don't think that's quite right. I think it starts 2019 is when the copyright date starts, so it might have only been that, but there's not a ton of it. I read it on Tapas. There were 89 pages, and some of them were usual webcomics shillery now, where it's like a bunch of links to other comics, or hey, let's do a caption contest. So the actual comics, there's not a lot of. You can read through them pretty quick, and it's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, it's got multiple ways to read it, and it reads really quickly no matter where you read it, and it is charming, and I think it also, I don't think it's going to be eye-opening for that many people, because people know that this is going on, and this is tragic, and this is sad. So, but every time she pulls something else out of the ocean, it's just like, see, this is what I use this for. It's just like, oh, that's just terrible, because we put that there. And, yeah, it's not enough of that that I don't think it will turn you off, unless you're super, like, in denial about all that happening, and like, oh, no, none of our stuff goes in the ocean, then you'll probably turn off from it immediately. But I don't think that's going to be most people, and I think you'll really enjoy the charm and the wit of this disgusting comic.
Yep.
And that will do it.
I thought you were wrapping
just up. I pause just a little too long each time, and I give you too much time to say something. I'm like, oh, I should have jumped in there before. Excuse me. I know I'm choking. Well, that will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have comments about this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And we give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole. You can find Hole, along with many other great copyright-free songs, on YouTube, Clown Cloud. That's a very different service. Don't go to try Clown Cloud. I have no idea what they have there.
Oh, I was talking about SoundCloud.
That would be amazing. And Spotify. What is that going to be? Is that just going to be copyright-free clown sounds?
I mean, it's not copyright-free necessarily, horns? But yeah, it's going to be like OnlyFans, but for people with white face makeup and triangles painted over their eyes, and you can either find someone to make balloon animals or murder a child. Same place. Very convenient.
There you go. If you want either of those two things, you can go find Steve. He's going to merchandise this whole idea. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show that has nothing to do with clowns. I promise you. It features two guys who have never met in real life.
We're kind
of give
clowns.
Each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find it along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If you can leave reviews there, please do. We really, really appreciate those. Until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I'm the famous clown, Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel.
That's all
there
I need.
You go, your first download for Clown Cloud.